are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share His love.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I think we all know the feeling of those family Christmas moments that could really use a filter. When personalities clash and there's just not enough room for personal space in the house anymore. There's those moments of chaos and those moments of calm that during the holidays I find just often weave in and out of each other. One of the things at our house that we can usually all agree on as a good idea would be to sit down and watch a Christmas movie together. Everybody's in one place, and the kids are lined up down the couch, and they're snuggled in and ready for a show. Everything's perfect until it's Dad's turn to pick the movie. A couple weeks ago, it was my turn, and I just had this nostalgic moment where I wanted to watch a movie that I hadn't seen since I was a kid. Nobody else in my family had seen it, and it was the movie Prancer. Prancer is a movie about Santa's reindeer, Prancer, who shows up injured on the farm of an 8-year-old girl named Jessica. And so the story is about how she's going to nurse Prancer the reindeer back to health and return him to Santa. I remembered it as this charming Christmas movie. It was so well done, but we're a few minutes into watching Prancer. And I can just feel the difference between 1989 and 2019. And it made me feel really old. And I'm watching my kids watch this movie from my childhood, and I can just see that they're struggling to buy into Prancer. And yet I'm holding on to hope. I'm thinking, we can just get into this story and over the hump a little bit. Prancer's going to come around, and my kids are going to love it. They're going to totally validate my whole childhood, just waiting for it. And all of a sudden, one of them says, I don't like this movie. And it was like, they all fell into line, and this chorus went up from the couch of my kids saying, Dad, this movie really isn't good. Can we watch something else? We're not going to watch Prancer. And even my wife sided with them. So it was just total mutiny at our house. And then they're trying to console me, and they're saying, oh, Dad, you can watch Prancer by yourself later. So that will be me tonight. I will be in my Christmas pajamas, alone on the couch, with maybe the dog will be there, watching the rest of Prancer. Some things just don't work out the way you thought they would. There's lots of moments that need a filter or a redo or something else than what we've got. During the season of Advent, we've been looking at 4 heart shifts in the Bible. The Bible describes them for us as 4 exchanges that God would like to do in us to trade. In week 1, it was hunger for hope. And then we talked about trading in worry for peace. Week number 3, it was about fear to joy. A couple days ago, the 4th Sunday of Advent, Megan led us into the themes of regret, trading in regret for love. And today, we arrive at the culmination on Christmas Eve. And it's about the shift from longing to belonging. Longing to belonging. Now, with it being Christmas, there is a lot going on and a lot to remember, a lot to do. I don't know about you, but I actually have to-do lists going on my to-do lists at home. And so I want to keep it very simple, really easy for us to remember. And I want to give you two pictures to take with you. Two words that you can visualize and remember what today is about. I want you to remember a light and a family. A light and a family. That's what we're going to see in the Christmas story. That Jesus is the light that leads me home, and his family is the place where I belong. That's what today's about. During our opening worship songs, we heard from Isaiah chapter 9, where it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And really what this is a description of the first Christmas. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years earlier, is foretelling what will happen. That the land is in deep darkness, and into a dark world, God would send his son to be born. And I think these lines about the dark resonate with us so deeply, don't they? The sense of living in a place of darkness where the world is broken and seems to be stuck in this perpetual shadow. I was thinking, just in the past 24 hours, I don't know how you, if you watch your news or read your news, ignore the news, that might be the best idea. But in the past 24 hours, I have taken in news about the farming accident in central Minnesota, North Korea promising a Christmas gift, whatever that means, and then the daily slog of politics in our country. And it feels like we're living in a place where it is more dark than light. And we also know personally, in a way that's even closer to our hearts, what it means to walk in darkness. As you look across the years of your life, I trust that there are things you can easily pull up and remember, things that didn't turn out the way that you'd hoped for. Dreams that were not actualized. Things that happened that you didn't see coming. Things that you would have never wished for. Our bodies are broken. Our health doesn't always get better. You might be missing a loved one this season. Just even reflect on 2019. Just take this last year for a few seconds. I'm sure it doesn't take longer than that. Just to recall, what are some of the things that just didn't work out, that didn't go well? The disappointments, the loss, the personal pain that you have experienced this year. The darkness is self-evident, isn't it? I mean, you look and it's all around us, and the Bible says that it's even in us. But the good news of Christmas is that God didn't leave us in the dark. That's the good news of Christmas, that he sent his son into the world to be our light. I'm not an art expert by any means. I got to go to the Louvre in Paris. I was living in Europe at the time, and I went to see the Mona Lisa, and I was there for like 2 seconds. I thought, all right, that's a wrap. So I am not an art expert, but I have learned to really enjoy the paintings by Caravaggio. He's an Italian artist who painted back around 1600, and he had this special way of contrasting light and dark. It has a fancy Italian name that I don't remember anymore, but you'll see it. I'm going to show you a picture. This is a painting from the Christmas story, and I know we're projecting it on the wall, but I think you can make out enough of it to see that the surroundings, this is called Adoration of the Shepherds, and the surroundings are all cloaked in darkness, but it's like there is a single candlelight that is lighting the scene. And it's coming from Jesus. Our scripture reading in the Gospel of John said this: "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So the good news of Christmas is not just that God didn't leave us in the dark, but also that the darkness doesn't win. The light and life of Christ is brighter and is more powerful than the darkest things of this world and in our own lives. And I wonder if some of you have been traveling in an airplane at night and you're at the window seat and it just happens to be a cloudless sky. And you've got the window seat so you can look out, and you're somewhere in the middle of nowhere in flyover country. I suppose most of Minnesota belongs to that. And you can look out your window, and it is totally dark, dark everywhere you look. But as you float across the earth way up there, you can see light every so often on the ground below. And it might be a little town that all of a sudden appears. Or maybe you can even see a single farm light that's there between the house and the barn. And the darkness is everywhere you look, but the light shines through the darkness. The darkness doesn't win. John 1:9 in our reading says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." This is John's way of telling the Christmas story, by describing Jesus as the true light that came in to light the world. And so maybe what this is describing is not just that single farm light that you see down below, but it's more like flying and you catch up to the dawn. Have you ever had that happen? You're on like a red-eye flight, or maybe internationally you're flying, and you catch up to the dawn. And everybody's been sleeping, and they have, you know, all the shades closed down. You maybe even have the eye mask on. All of a sudden you wake up, and somebody, you know, it's always going to be one person who opens that window, and the light, the brilliant light, just pours into the plane. One of my favorite descriptors of Jesus is in Malachi 4:2, where it says, "The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." And so Jesus is born not just to defeat the dark that's around us, but also to heal the places of darkness that are in us. If darkness is the sinful condition that we're born into and part of, then I want you to picture that the light of Jesus is like the medicine. It is the healing balm and the salve that God places upon our hearts. Jesus came to administer medicine, to give the gift of life and salvation. And 30 years or so after he was born, he took the language of light and he applied it to himself. And in John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And I just imagine that there's some of us here today who know that we need to say yes to that invitation, to trade in darkness for light, to follow Jesus and walk with him, because the way that you have been walking is not working, to receive him and to be led by him. Remember the first picture that we pointed out, that Jesus is the light that leads me home. And the picture of light and dark is something we can all relate to. It's like this universal language. It's even picked up in the movies that we watch. And so at the theater right now, you could go to the movie theater and choose between these two titles that are running right now. You could see Dark Waters or one that's called The Lighthouse. But don't be fooled by that one. The Lighthouse actually appears to be quite dark. A little European on that one. But there's another film in theaters that maybe you have seen. The whole story is built on themes of light and dark. I'm talking about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Light and dark, not just in this one that is supposedly the last, we'll see. The themes of light and dark are everywhere in these movies. And you think back, and maybe to the previous ones, let's look at this older picture. Just think about how this language appears. What is Luke's weapon called? It's called a what saber? Yes, thank you, kids. It's a lightsaber. And remind me again, he's battling against what side of the Force? The dark side. But if Star Wars speaks the language of light, which it does, its even greater narrative arc is about the second of our two pictures. And that picture is family. Family. What is one of the most iconic lines in all of Star Wars, maybe in all of film history? All right, it's Luke fighting Darth Vader, and Darth Vader says to Luke, what does he say? "I am your father," right? This moment in cinematic history. One film critic pointed out, the Star Wars movies revolve around some of the most basic human experiences, relationships with our families. It's the first one he listed. The meaning of our life's work, confronting our own death, and our legacy. And he concludes in his review, "Very few of us grew up on desert planets with two suns. That doesn't mean we can't all relate." So let's look at the second picture. Jesus is the light that leads me home. And second picture, his family is the place where I belong. John says this about Jesus in verse 12, chapter 1. "Yet to all who did receive him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And this is what the world is crying out for. To belong, to be home, to be loved by God. There's a song I heard just the other day. It's a song by One Republic called Wanted. And I want you to listen to this. This song is all about the shift from longing to belonging. Listen to these words. Every time I close my eyes, I feel like I could disappear. I could overflow an ocean with the cavalcade of all my tears. I just want to be wanted. I could use a little love sometimes. I just need to be needed. Like to know I'm crossing someone's mind. I just want to be someone that somebody needs. I just want to be more than a drop in the sea. It's what we all intuitively desire. To be wanted, to matter. It's what God created us for. It's true, you're not just a drop of water in the sea, but you were created by God to live for him, to live for his glory, to be in relationship with him. The good news of Christmas is that though we open the door to darkness flooding into this place, that Jesus came to put things back in order. Henry Nouwen wrote, "The eternal Son became a child so that we might become children again and so enter with him into the kingdom of the Father." And the last verse of our scripture reading says this. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." In the original wording of the Greek, in that sentence, it says, "He pitched his tent." He pitched his tent among us. And I want you to know that you are that valuable to God, that he would come and he would pitch his tent in your yard. He loves you so much that he came for you in a tent and is waiting for you. A paraphrase of the Bible called The Message puts it this way: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." That's the Christmas story. That God didn't leave us in the dark, but he came for us. And not just to be born as a baby, but also to bear our sins, to break the hold of darkness, and to die for us on the cross. And when we believe in his name, which means when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, in what he has done for us, then a shift happens. Then this exchange takes place. And our broken relationship with God is put back together. And we're brought into his family. And we go from longing to belonging. This past week, we celebrated the homegoing of a dear woman who experienced this heart shift as a teenager. That's when she heard the good news. She was 14, and she heard about Jesus, and she placed her trust in him. And then through the ups and downs of all the years of her life since then, there has been something about her that was unshakable, unwavering, and steadfast. But she would be the first to tell you that it wasn't her. It was the one whose hand she held. She knew that Jesus is the light that leads me home, and his family is the place where I belong. And I want to ask you, as we close our time in Scripture together, do you know that? And I mean, do you really know it? Because it's one thing to celebrate Christmas and to see a light from 35,000 feet away, but it is another thing to hold that light up close in your hand. This Christmas, I just want you to remember two pictures: a light and a family. And not just to remember, but to have and to hold, to be and belong to Christ. Can I pray for you? Let's bow our heads together. Lord, in the midst of this Christmas Eve and all that lays ahead, the rest of today and tomorrow, we pray that you would just give us crystal clear clarity about who you are and your calling on our life. We praise you today, Lord, that you came as the light of the world to heal this broken land, to heal our broken hearts, and to bring us into your family. And I pray for myself and for each of these friends that that truth would be the loudest truth we hear today. That you would press it upon our hearts and we would know you and trust you and take you by the hand. We ask for this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.